Margaret Thatcher, shortly after becoming the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, she was visiting a senior living center. And this woman doesn't know who she is. And so Margaret Thatcher asked her, you know, do you know who I am? And the woman says, no, honey, I do not. But if you'll go to the woman behind the counter over there, she can tell you she is really good at that. I want to talk this morning about identity. You and I finding our identity in Christ and how that happens and where that comes from and what we're to do with that and how that's accomplished. And then beyond that, the call of not seeking identity anywhere else. Because in today's time and in today's culture, with all of the time, with all of the questions and all of the confusion about identity, there's only one. There's only one in whom you and I are to find our identity. And that's in Jesus. And I truly believe that if we can truly find and embrace our identity in Christ, for our identity in Him to truly be definitive in who we are, any other struggles or confusion that Satan creates are going to be exceedingly diminished. So I want to ask you to turn with me to our first stop along the way. We're going to look first at John chapter 15. John 15 is not a stranger to us. This is the night before the cross. This is Jesus and his disciples on their way from the upper room to the garden. This is the I am the vine and you are the branches instruction. This is Jesus' instruction not only to his disciples then, this is Jesus' instruction to his disciples today. I am the vine, you are the branches, my Father's the gardener, my Father's the one that makes things grow, and he's the one that prunes. And ultimately, this is an image from Jesus to us of purity, of cleansing. I am the vine, you are the branches. He'll say, remain in me, abide in me, dwell in me, come to me for strength, come to me for life. Apart from me, you can't do anything, at least nothing that's worthwhile. I mean, all of that is in this text. But another part of this passage is identity. You and I, we are connected to Jesus. He gives us life. We are, if faithful followers, and if leaning into this covenant that he grants to us, we are intimately connected to him. Jesus will say in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, he'll say, it just makes sense. You know a tree by its fruit. That's just how it works. And then here in John chapter 15, he declares that we cannot bear fruit without him. That our lives demonstrate how close, how connected we are to him, and whether or not we are connected to him at all. And then he moves this conversation toward love. Remain in him, remain in his love. Or he'll say, remain in me, abide in me, dwell in me, and then remain in my love. This is my command, he says, that you love one another. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down their life for their friends. Of course, what Jesus is emphatically pointing us toward is the next morning and the cross. I want to ask you to zero in with me on two verses here, verses 14 and 15, where Jesus says, you are my friends. If you do what I command. Now, what command? He had said, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. You are my friends. If you do what I command. And then verse 15, I no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. And so this is the $64,000 question. What does it mean to be Jesus' friend? What does it look like? What does it mean to be a friend of Jesus? You and I think we'd be content to be his servants. And certainly we are. But Jesus, he says, I no longer call you servants because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You see, it's a choice. It's a choice to be a friend. We choose to be friends. There's intimacy and there's closeness involved in being a friend. Not friend in a social media sort of way. I have 1,500 friends on Facebook or I have 500 followers on Twitter. But a true friend, rather than out of obligation, there's willingness and there is openness in being a friend. There's vulnerability. There's honesty. There's strength. There's safety. And so what Jesus is saying here is, this is the next level. This is the next level in our following him. It's a deepening of the relationship. To move from servant, and it's not as if we're ever not to be his servants, or it's not as if we're ever to cease to be his servants, but to become his friends. And if we can see ourselves in this, Jesus, he's opening the door. He's furthering our capacity for identity, to know who we are, and to answer the question of who am I, this question of identity, to answer that question with, I'm a friend of Jesus. And too often we identify with either who we are or who we are not, with what we have or what we can do or what we have done. But those things have nothing to do with true identity. Listen to these statements from author Tim Keller. Most of these statements either come from his book, The Reason for God, or his work, Counterfeit Gods. But listen to these statements from Keller. In one place he says, if our identity is in our work rather than Christ, success will go to our heads and failure will go to our hearts. In another place he writes, the Bible says that our real problem is that every one of us is building our identity on something besides Jesus. That's our human nature. That's our carnal nature. That's our worldly nature. That's our nature that's contrary to him. He writes, he says, if anything becomes more fundamental than God to your happiness, meaning of life, and identity, then it is an idol. Think about that. If anything becomes more fundamental than God to your happiness, meaning of life, and identity, then it is an idol. He writes, religion is, my identity is built on being a good person. Gospel is, my identity is built not on my record or my performance, but on Christ. He says, the gospel shows us that our spiritual problem lies not only in failing to obey God, but also in relying on our obedience to make us fully acceptable to God, ourselves, and others. Every kind of character flaw comes from this natural impulse to be our own savior through our own performance and achievement. On one hand, proud and disdainful personalities come from basing your identity on your performance and thinking you are succeeding. But on the other hand, discouraged and self-loathing personalities also come from basing your identity on your performance and thinking you are failing. And then these final two statements here. Sin is the despairing refusal to find your deepest identity in your relationship and service to God. Then he writes the Apostle Paul, he sees all kinds of sins in himself and all kinds of accomplishments too. but he refuses to connect them with his identity. It all comes back to this question that we've been asking lately. This question of, is God enough? Is Christ enough? Is who God is and what God has done and what he's accomplished in our lives, is God enough? Is he enough? And if the answer is yes, then why the constant search for more? Why can't we be content? Why seek identity in other things? Because quite frankly, if Scripture affirms anything at all to us, it affirms that when we seek identity anywhere else, in anything else, in anyone else, we're going to find ourselves distant from God. If we truly believe that our God is able to accomplish immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine, then why isn't that lived out through faith in our lives? All right, Jason, let's lighten the load just a little bit today. Go to the next slide. Let's try this. Have you used the grocery store pickup that some places are offering? Show of hands if you even have any idea what I'm talking about. Tirsa will, she'll use this. She does it at Walmart. Kroger does the same thing. You can go online and you can select all the items that you want, and they will have them waiting for you. And so you drive to the store. Everything's already been paid for. You just pull up into the spot. You let them know that you're there, and then they'll just come out and they'll bring the stuff to you. It used to be that Tirsa would ask me to go to the store, and I would moan and groan. Now, as long as she does this, I'm good with it. Now, if she does ask me to go to the store and has a list for me and asks me to go in, I end up calling her about every 1.5 to 2 minutes, asking her where these things are at that she has on the. Can anybody identify with this? Usually, what she'll end up. Can any men identify with this? Usually, what will end up happening is that I'll call her about every minute and a half, and then she'll finally say just FaceTime me, and so she's like, okay, you're on the right aisle. Yeah, it's on row 3. There it is, toward the bottom. Yes, right in front of you. Don't call me again. You know. My point, when you do this grocery pickup thing, if they are out of what you've ordered, what will they often do? They'll substitute something better than you ask for. If you've ordered great value ice cream, vanilla, and they're out of it, they will substitute that for Bluebell homemade vanilla. And they will only charge you for the great value ice cream, right? If you have on your list great value toilet paper, and they're out of it, they will substitute Charmin Ultra, right? If you order, now if I order chocolate chip cookies and they substitute that with oatmeal raisin, there's going to be a problem. Peanut butter, sugar, macadamia nut, fine, but not oatmeal raisin. First world problems. When Christ defines us, when he really defines us, and our identity is found in him, our God, he gives us more than we could ask for. More than we can ask or imagine, when and only when our identity is found in him. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he'll write, these are familiar passages for us. He'll say, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and who has given us this ministry of reconciliation. If you go on reading there in verse 19, he'll write, he has committed us to the message of reconciliation. Not only is it the ministry of reconciliation, but it's the message of reconciliation. The next verse in verse 20, we are Christ's ambassadors. You and I, we are Christ ambassadors. And Paul says, as though God were making his appeal through us. And then verse 21, of course, God made him who had no sin to become sin for us so that you and I might become the righteousness of God. The old is gone. The new has come. But where do you find your worth? Where do you find your value? Where do you find your identity? We too often find them in other things, in possessions, in physical appearance, in accolades, in whether or not others know who we are, when at the end of the day, the one that truly matters, he knows who we are. And maybe on a day like Father's Day, maybe we're a fraction more open to pausing for a moment and considering who we are and who we're not. We're so easily distracted in life from those things that really don't matter. We get busy. We get busy with the urgent rather than the important. We struggle with being in the moment, with being still and knowing and seeing things, seeing life through the lens of God. We too often find ourselves in the things and the circumstances that are not eternal. When God, He has given us this honor of being defined by Jesus. When Jesus has given us this honor of being his friends. The psalmist in 139 writes, "You knit me together in my mother's womb." I mean, does that not communicate to us how intimate our God is with us and how close he wants for us to be with him? Ephesians chapter 2, the text that Neil read for us a few moments ago, we are God's handiwork, his workmanship, his creation, his masterpiece. We're God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. It's God crafting us, God creating us, God continuing to create and to recreate. Scripture affirms that you and I, that we're on God's thoughts. I want you to think about that. That we are on God's thoughts. That God, he's given us life and he's given us new life. Let that sink in just for a moment. That God, he knows and he sees. He sees a bigger picture even when we can't. And you and I, we're a part of what he's doing. We're a part of the family of God. When a child is born, traditionally, most often, the child takes the last name of who? The father. Regardless of this world, if you belong to God, you're a part of the family of God. Talk about identity. And God, he is crafting us. He continues to create. He continues to shape us. He continues to craft us and to mold us more and more into who he desires for us to be, because he has things planned for us to be a part of here in this life. Talk about identity. He continues to craft us and to shape us more and more into the image of Jesus. Go to the next image, if you will. This is the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel in Rome. Show of hands if you've actually seen that firsthand. One day, I hope to be able to. Many of you know my friend Dan Miller, who he and his wife Debbie were here years ago at Eastridge. Dan, several years ago, he and Debbie took a trip to Europe, and they were in Rome, and they were in the Sistine Chapel. And you're not supposed to take pictures in there. And Dan was walking around with his phone like this, holding it up, taking pictures. I actually got in touch with him this week, and I said, hey, did any of those turn out? Because I'd rather use one of those pictures, because they kind of go along with the story rather than the stock image. But none of them really turned out. But leave it to Dan to do something like that. But can you imagine Michelangelo? He's painting that Michelangelo, the painter, not the Ninja Turtle. Can you imagine Michelangelo painting the Sistine Chapel? And he painted it between the years of 1508 and 1512. Can you imagine someone critiquing his work along the way? I mean, what would he say? He'd say, no, it's not finished yet. Well, Michelangelo, this is all looking pretty good over here, but what about all this over here? Hold on a second. It's not finished yet. It's not done yet. It's still being created. It's not finished. Do you remember the final words of Jesus as he's on the cross before he gives up his spirit? It is finished. Now, what Jesus is saying is finished is his work. What he's saying is finished is what God had sent him to accomplish on our behalf. What he's saying is finished is the atonement for our sins and the forgiveness that he enacts there on the cross. That's what's finished. But in that, you and I, we're to find identity. We're God's handiwork. And when we embrace fully the life and the way of life our God offers and makes possible through Jesus, and when we find our identity in Him and nowhere else, the result is not only knowing who we are. The result is peace. The result is contentment. And I don't know if you've tried, but finding those two elements, peace and contentment in this life, are futile if you're looking for them anywhere else other than Jesus. It's our identity in Christ. Identity is found in being in Christ. Being defined by Him. And embracing that reality as those who are His friends. This morning, it is a blessing and an honor to be able to be a part of the family of God. And maybe as we conclude our time together this morning, just to acknowledge that reality is a blessing in and of itself. And to bask in this wonder that it is to be children of God, friends of Jesus. And for us to maybe have a clearer vision of our purpose and reason in all of this. And we don't want to leave our time together without offering an opportunity for response to find identity in Christ. We find our identity in Jesus as we're baptized into Jesus and as His Spirit dwells within us. So if you're in need of responding to the gospel of Jesus this morning, either by being baptized into Christ or maybe by asking for this good church to pray over you, we'd be honored to do so. I ask you to come forward as we stand as David leads us in song.